Online church, we just want to welcome you this morning, and you're here. We waited for you. I wanted you to hear everything that's happening this morning, this is awesome to be with you in the room as well, and as I've already said, our online church. Last week, we talked about keeping the party going and having wine in the house, and we talked about our dream team. I want to give a shout out because there's four or five new people on the host team and four or five new people training in production this morning. This is awesome. No, you got to do better than that. Come on. Big shout out for those that are keeping the party going. We love our dream team, and thank you for responding. And those of you that responded last week, and we're going to just believe you're going to see great, great miracles here in the house and in your own lives. It's the servants that see the miracles. This morning, Louis Mazzarelli is who attends, he and his wife Lydia attend here at Harvest, is speaking in Long Sioux, and I'm going to pray in a moment after I read the scripture and pray that he is anointed and just blesses the churches in our region as he's out speaking today. As well, we want to continue praying for Motion Church, and Louis will be speaking, debuting. We've not heard him preach here yet, but he'll be speaking not next Sunday in the water baptism, but the Sunday after. We're looking forward to hearing from him. Well, let's look at the scriptures this morning. Proverbs 3:5-6. If you've not committed this to memory, write it down that you're going to commit this one to memory. Great verse. Trust in the Lord with just a little bit of your heart. Trust in the Lord with a portion of your emotions. Trust in the Lord with just a smitten of all, of course. Say all. And that's not always easy to do. I want to talk about trusting God today. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That word meaning your mind, your will, and your emotions. Bringing your emotions into alignment, having a safe place to learn to trust God. Do not depend on your understanding. Doesn't have to make sense. That's the bottom line of that. Doesn't have to make sense. And sometimes our brain cannot compute the things of God. There are mysteries. We take by faith what we read in the Word of God. It's not blind faith. It's faith that we see that what God says about himself and what we read about God in the Word of God. And so sometimes it won't make sense. But the Bible talks about a peace that passes understanding. In other words, it bypasses your brain, goes right to your spirit, and goes, you're safe, you're good, this is okay, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I'm your God, and so on and so on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Holy Spirit, we ask today that you would do what the bumper said, the power of the Word of God. Lord, I'm going to do my best, but Lord, it's not enough. Lord, the power that's in the scriptures today, we just want that released. The two-edged sword that comes to divide between soul and spirit, marrow and bone, the scriptures talk about. Lord, today that our minds would be alert, our spirits would be wide open to hear what you have to say today in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask that you would be with Lewis as he's in Long Sioux, and Lord, also Motion Church in Morrisburg, Father. I just pray you would give your wisdom and that they would seek you and which path to take, Lord, so that your name can be glorified in the long term in that area. We pray in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Well, a number of weeks ago, we were in worship, and the song that Christina sang today, All My Life You Have Been Faithful. And I found myself just standing in the presence of God and tearing up and realizing as soon to be an August 61-year-old and gave my heart to Jesus when I was 8, and I got water baptized when I was 9. And as you look back over your life and this cornerstone of our relationship with Jesus, his faithfulness, just God's faithfulness. And we tell you about it when you get saved. And if you found Jesus recently, we're telling you to put your trust in God, and you will see and learn the faithfulness of God. And those of us that have been serving the Lord for a little bit longer, we have come to live out and experience and appreciate the faithfulness of God. How many would say that you know that God is faithful, not by your brain, but you've experienced the faithfulness of God? Amen. So I need you to be really vocal this morning and help out as I believe God is going to speak to some people this morning about learning to step out, to trust in the faithfulness of God. I served as a youth pastor in Messina, New York at New Testament Church, our mother church in the mid-90s. And it's interesting that as Canadians, we cross-border shop and we go over to see all the goodies that are happening over the border. And when we moved over to New York State, we're Canadian, but we lived there for 12 years, it was interesting that they had no clue what was over on this side of the border. And you'll bump into the odd person who realizes we actually have restaurants in Cornwall. You'd be hard-pressed to find one in Messina. I sure hope Messina people are watching, because I had to take their American patriotic stuff for 12 years and just pretend, because I was the only Canadian. There's this thing called the World Series. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but I tried to tell them the world doesn't play. A couple of your baseball teams in America play it, but they'd have none of that. And so they really don't know what's over here in Canada. And so I said, I'm going to take the youth group to Canada's Wonderland. There's some great parks in the States, but man, I think we have some premier parks. And Canada's Wonderland is one of those premier parks that's so close to us in Toronto. And so the kids were super excited about it, and we did an overnight at a hotel and then a day trip the next day, and I had to get drivers and chaperones and put all that together. And the day before we headed out, Pastor calls me into his office, and it was interesting. He was fine with me taking 40 kids to Canada. He trusted me to have the right chaperones and drivers going on the trip, and just all of the details. And you need to know from a senior pastor's perspective, that's a lot of trust in a youth pastor. I mean, it was me, and he should have trusted me. But I mean, you know, it's a lot of trust in a youth pastor, because if anything's going to go wrong, it's probably going to go wrong on a youth trip. So he wasn't concerned about that at all. What he was concerned about, what he didn't trust me with, was his son, who was I actually texted him this week, and I said, Nate, how old were you? And I told the story I'm going to tell you. And he said, man, I can't remember. I said, but somewhere like 12, right? 12, 13. He goes, yeah, I think so. And so his dad says to me, look, you know, his son Nate had never been Nate Wells, because there were two Nates, two pastors and two Nates. But if some of you are looking for the name. And so he said, Nate's never been at a large park, and those rides can be scary. And what I want to make sure of, Roy, is that you just watch out for him. And he was like in total overprotective dad mode, like some spirit of fear was going to just kind of grab Nate on a roller coaster and choke him, and he would hate rides for the rest of his life. And I nodded and smiled, and he said, this just can be really, really scary, and I don't want him scared, you know, his first experience at the park. I said, okay. So we made the trip, and we arrived in the parking lot at Canada's Wonderland, and I said, hey, Nate. I called him over and hadn't made arrangements up to this point. It was just kind of spontaneous. I said, hey, you want to hang out with me for a little bit and go on your first ride? He goes, yeah. He called me Mr. Stevenson. Mr. Stevenson, that'd be great. And I said, okay, let's do it. So we headed over to the corner of the park where in the 90s, Dragon Fryer was the kind of the premier roller coaster at that time. I mean, they've gone bigger and better since, but it was the first steel corkscrew coaster in the park, and it was amazing. And you'd line up for this. I'd been on it several times, and I thought it would be a good initiation ride for Nate. And you line up for the ride and see what it's all about. And I thought we could just see this clip, and we could go on the ride together. And so Nate's standing with me at the loading dock, and there's this. If you guys could kill the lights right here, please, on the stage. So it has this, it starts out off the loading dock. You can't see the ride, and then you go there, whee! It's this little curve, you know, whee! And then click, 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 click. And I look over at Nate, and I smile and nod my head. And he's seatbelted in, of course, and, you know, I've got the restraint down. Click, 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 click. And you're going higher and higher and higher and higher. It's hard to see that. And he looks over at me at about this point. He says, Mr. Stevenson, this really is a scary ride, isn't it? And I look back. I said, trust me, Nate. Yes, it is. He took a breath. We did the drop. That is as straight down as it looks. By now you're disoriented because you've been upside down twice with a corkscrew. When we hit this next corkscrew, I started to wonder if I'd have a job when I got back to Messina, because I hadn't heard from Nate at all. And then it just kind of slows you down and kind of gets you ready for the end of the ride. And you coast back into the loading dock. Nate had white-knuckled it the whole time. I looked over, and his hands, I had to help him ungrip the bar. But then he started to hoot and holler. Wah! Mr. Stevenson, that was the best ever! And I'm like, oh, phew, I still have a job. Nate took off out of the loading dock, grabbed some of his friends. He went on every single ride in the park. That's a number of years ago in the early 90s. And I was still doing most of the rides, but I don't like spin rides because I get dizzy and puke, and so that's no fun. I love the thrill rides, but can only do one, maybe two in a day now just because, I don't know, I'm told as you get older, your equilibrium gets knocked off, and mine certainly does. And it really worked out that Nate trusted me, and he enjoyed himself at the park. When you're putting trust into someone, you're putting confidence into that person, you feel safe with them, you feel secure with them. When the kids are little, and we did this with our kids, and I've seen parents do it with their kids, little ones that are just learning just to stand, you know, and you set them up on the counter, and you put your arms out, you go, come on, and you want them to jump into your arms, and you coax them, and you use a voice that's, you know, come on, you can do it, and they, you know, they jump out, and then they realize how fun it is, they want to do it over and over again, And I have a granddaughter named Reagan that's just never stopped. Reagan's 9, 8. We were over at her house, watching them the other night, and she can actually maneuver the whole kitchen without touching the floor. She runs on the counters, leaps, from the island to another counter onto the stove, swings on the handles of the fridge and goes to another. And our phrase that we'll often say is she has no fear, right? No fear. She feels safe. And as we grow up, we don't all jump off the counters anymore or do gymnastics around the kitchen. But as we live life, there are jumps required. There is trust that's required. But as we've all jumped in different ways as older children or adults, we found out that not everybody we were trusting caught us, and we did fall. And all the situations that we got ourselves into weren't always safe. And so you begin to not know who you can trust. You begin to feel maybe unsafe in your life. And I know there are people here that are listening online and here in the room that's gone to another level for you because you live with fear and anxiety and you have trust issues and they're real for you. And life is very difficult because of those trust issues. And you might deal with perfectionism this morning and you go, well, how does perfectionism deal with being not trusting? Well, because you only trust in yourself. And so what you'll do around your home is do everything for everybody because nobody else can really do it well enough. You'll complain about it. You'll complain that other people aren't carrying their weight, but you'll jump in because you're a perfectionist. It has to be done a certain way because you need to have control over your environment to a place that it's actually debilitating in your life. At work, you're doing your coworker's job as well. They're doing about a half a job and getting a full salary because you're jumping in because you're a perfectionist because you have trust issues. At Harvest, we say we want you to know God. We want you to find freedom. This morning's about finding freedom. And I believe that as the prayer team will be here in a few moments, that that some of you will respond to this message today and allow us to lay hands on you and pray and believe, God, that you will begin to find freedom in the trust issues that you might be dealing with. And they might be relational trust issues today of not really being able to jump out into the arms of your partner or jump into relationships that you feel safe and confident and secure, because there's always a check. Will this be safe? Can I trust? One of the foundation stones of our relationship with God is understanding the faithfulness of God. And I've entitled this message, The Great Faithfulness of the Hymn, and a verse we're going to read in a moment. Great is your faithfulness, O God, our Savior. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is your faithfulness. Let's jump in. 1 Corinthians tells us that God is faithful. Say faithful. He's trustworthy. We can put our trust in him. He's safe. We can do it with confidence. That word is all wrapped up of those words in this word faithful. And God is those things. It is who he is. It's not what he does. God doesn't do faithful things. He is the faithful God. He cannot be any other way. And that faithful God who has called you into relationship with his son, Jesus, he's faithful. It begins the calling. You're being called when you said yes to Jesus, and we give an opportunity in every service, and we'll do it today. If you've never invited Jesus to come into your life, today's your day of salvation. When God called you, he called you into a safe place. He called you into a relationship that you can trust. Life's not a roller coaster. It can be fun and thrilling, but you're not supposed to white knuckle it and just kind of get through and hope that you arrive at the destination, or at least arrive at some calm point where you've white-knuckled all through, closing your eyes, taking a deep breath, which is how a lot of people do rides. Okay, I made it. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to the full. Oh, life's got some scary upside-down corkscrews and situations. And as we talk about this morning, and if you deal with fear in your life, or maybe you live in your head a lot and you just haven't jumped out yet in faith and trust in God, let me tell you, it is the most exhilarating, thrilling thing to trust God in the areas of the supernatural, because he's a supernatural God, and to see him do miracle after miracle after miracle, to catch you when you jump. And he's going, come on, come on, do it, jump. Some of you have never jumped out financially and trusted God with your finances. Some of you have never trusted God to do that miracle that you've heard people talk about. And I want to encourage you that how you deal with your trust issues is to begin by trusting the one, the only one in the universe who will never drop you, who will never misguide you, that he is the great and faithful God. He's called you. God's called you, and he's called you into a life that's not without its difficulties, as the prophet Jeremiah told us, as he hit the people that he was prophesying to, Israel, had hit rock bottom, that they had been captured by the Babylonians and were in Babylonian captivity. He says, I'll never forget the trouble. Trouble's hard to forget. Trouble's real. The utter lostness, the taste of ashes. His life had been burnt to the ground. The poison I've swallowed, the stuff I've put up with in life, and just, I remember it. Oh, so well, I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. And that description of what we kind of deal with in life is real, and it causes us to experience a loss of control, lostness in life, and feeling like we're, you know, free falling. Well, I'm free falling, only because you would have done it in your head anyway. And you feel like you've just lost all control of your life. How do I trust when I feel so utterly out of control and life is scary and I'm not sure what's going to happen next? My anxiety is ramping and all of these things are going on. Well, the prophet didn't stop there. He said, I can remember this, But there's another mnemonic aid. There's another memory mechanism that's got to kick in. He said, but, say but. When I was a teacher in teaching science in high school in Messina, and it was something in physics, and I said, but, and I forget, I think it was on gravity or something. And I said, everybody draw a big but on your page right now, but. And of course, everybody started laughing, and everybody drew the big but on there, but it wasn't B-U-T, and if you haven't figured it out, I'm not drawing the picture for you today, but, say but. There's one thing. There are many things that go wrong, but there's just one thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip, not a white-knuckled grip on life. I keep a grip on hope. I keep a grip on understanding that God is faithful. The loyal love couldn't run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's mercy is created brand new every morning for us to experience. How great is your faithfulness. Go ahead and thank God this morning for his faithfulness. And so when life hits that point, I'm going to give you three things to remember. He says there's one, but I'm going to do three things about God, the three things about the one thing that he's remembering. Number one, remember that he's faithful to his promises. When you're in that place, anxiety, fear, whatever is happening in your life, to stop and go, that's real. I'm experiencing that. And it's hard to forget. In fact, I can't forget. But now I'm going to remember something new. I'm going to remember he's faithful to his promises. Numbers tells us that God is not human. Well, why is that important? Well, because he can't lie. He's not a human being that he should change his mind. And maybe something was promised to you as a kid, and then there was a mind change. Somebody goes, well, forget about it. We're just going to change our mind. And I'm not talking about, hey, life happens, and there's just time, you know, life changes, and we have to explain to our kids, you know, we're really sorry. It's not like we changed our mind on this. Circumstances happen. But I'm talking about someone promised and then didn't care. Someone promised who wasn't safe. Someone promised to, you know, kind of jump off. Trust me, but you couldn't because they changed their mind all the time. They were wishy-washy. The Bible speaks about a person like that, that they're like the wind. They're unstable. They're wishy-washy. They're always changing their mind. God's not like that. He never changes. If God, once God promises, he sets his mind on what is good for you. He's never changing. Changing his mind. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you don't do. He's never changing his mind. He is a good God, a loving God, a compassionate God that is for you and not against you. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? No, he fulfills his promises because he is a faithful God. We're remembering he's faithful to his promise. Well, which promises? Because the enemy is going to come and tell you that whatever promise you're trying to hold on to, that God changed his mind because some time has gone by. And that happens, doesn't it? We're waiting. We're in the wait time. We get anxious. Well, God doesn't seem to be coming through. And remember, that's what God wants to break in your life. That's what he wants to heal. Because at your house, you told the kids to pick up their socks. The socks have been on the floor for 32 seconds. And you said to them, I'll give you 30 seconds. It's 32 seconds. You're diving on the floor because your OCD is going, I can't have socks on the floor. And they're never, ever, 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 ever going to learn to pick up their socks. Now, you're going to be angry about it. But your perfectionism's kicking in because there's something in you that just, you can't wait another moment. And God's going, I need you to wait longer than 30 seconds. I need you to live in life where you're not white knuckling it. I want to break fear and anxiety. I want to break these things in your life. Come on this ride of life with me. Buckle in. You can trust me, says God. And you're going to live in freedom. But sometimes there is a wait because I have a plan. I know the beginning from the end. I see your life from heaven's perspective. This might take a little while. And while it takes a little while, we begin to recognize and realize he hasn't changed his mind. He's not reneging. Which promises? All the promises. Say all the promises. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. And it's not so much in receiving the promise, although that's glorious. It's in the trusting along the journey that we live in freedom and go, I'm okay. I'm trusting God. I'm okay. This took a year longer than I thought of. I'm trusting God. This is taking 5 years longer than I'm trusting God. I'm remembering his faithfulness. Which promise is God going to break? None of the promises. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and listen to my plea. Answer me because you are faithful and righteous. As you're praying in the wait time, it's okay to go, God, we say we're reminding God. He doesn't need to be reminded. But what we're doing is reminding ourselves that every time we pray, he hears us because he's faithful. He's here, yes, yes, and that comfort comes. And he answers our prayer, and it may not be the answer to the prayer request, but the answer might come and say, I will never leave you or forsake you. Hang on. We got a little bit longer. One more corkscrew to go, and the answer's coming. Come on. You can't see what's around the corner. You think it's a straightaway that seems to be going on forever and ever. And God says, no, there's a corner up ahead. We're going to go around the corner, and you're going to see the answer. You're going to see what God has for you. Come on. God hears your prayer. He listens to your plea. Yeah, come on. Thank God that he knows where the corners are, and he answers us. Number two, this is one thing Jeremiah said. We're remembering three things about the one thing. The second is remember that God's got your back. This is important because it says that Lord is faithful. Say faithful. Yeah, the great faithfulness of God. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Oh, yeah, the devil. Yeah, your adversary who prowls around looking for someone to eat, tear apart, and devour. Thank you for that scripture, Jesus. I'll bet you've never given thanks for that. Oh, yeah. Praise the God who gives me the roaring lion seeking to devour me and eat me up. Thank you, Lord. I praise you. You're just awesome, God, for that little treat there of the devil. Chases me around. I mean, this is the for real stuff. It's scary. It's not just scary stuff under the bed. This is scary stuff that's real, spiritual, wants to tear us apart, kill us, destroy us. He's got beady eyes and looks out at you in the dark. I mean, this is for real stuff. Lord, how am I supposed to be safe? Well, the Lord is faithful. He'll strengthen you. Say strengthen and protect. You see, God wants to strengthen you so that you can find out you're stronger than the devil. Because of Jesus in you, remember the one who called you into this relationship. And the devil's only still on his short leash in this world because God has a plan. That's the only reason God has a plan. His plan includes that you would become victorious and put the enemy under your feet. That you wouldn't be intimidated, that you wouldn't come under the spirit of fear, you wouldn't come under the spirit of anxiety, you wouldn't be manipulated by the enemy's tactics, but you would be an overcomer, and Jesus would sit back and go, there's my son, there's my daughter, who beats you up, and I love watching that fight. He wants you to be victorious. It's not even supposed to be a close contest. And so he strengthens you. You don't have to pull your socks up and go, I'm going after the devil today. Because he's coming after you anyway. But when he does, God will strengthen you. Now watch. Watch what happens when you begin to understand that God's got your back. That he strengthens you and you can be safe in the middle of the scary ride. And when stuff is chasing you. David said, he sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's a banquet table that you can sit down all calm and the devil's snarling and attacking, intimidating. And you're going, hey, back away. Your breath is bad and I'm trying to eat here. And the picture of David sitting so calm in the presence of my enemies. We live in a sinful world that doesn't work the way it should. God wants us to live strong and victorious. Now, while we're learning to do that, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and are. When you're feeling unsafe, and your trust issues are going to rise up. And you're dealing in life, and at that moment, you want to kind of go back to what you know and start to control your environment, start to do the things you do that only ramp up your anxiety and ramp up the fear. At that moment, what I'm encouraging you to understand is the name of the Lord. He's as close as the mention of his name. That prayer that we just talked about, that you can pause and go, I'm not going to do exercises right now, although that might not be a bad idea, but that's not what I'm going to do. I'm instead going to go, Jesus, Lord Jesus, you're the one who strengthens me. You're the one that's for me. And the Bible says instantaneously you're in his presence. You were all along, but you're realizing it now. The name of the Lord becomes a fortified. Now, this is interesting. And you got to get this. It's a fortified tower. It's not a fortified on the ground place you run into. It's a hiding place like a hole. The Lord, name of the Lord is a hole in the ground hiding place. The enemy can't get me here. No, it's a tower. And I want you to picture, because this is the only way this word can be explained, is when you step into the presence of God, there's an elevator that rushes you up. It's one of those fast elevators, like in one of those high buildings in Dubai that we see. And you are instantly seated with Christ in heavenly places, because that's where the Bible says we are. And you're now looking down on your issue. The name of the Lord becomes a mechanism and a way that in that place in prayer, because he's safe, because he's faithful, because I can now understand he's got my back. He has strengthened me, but I need to know and see this whole situation from a new perspective, from a higher perspective. I don't even bother dealing with the enemy down here. I just say, oh God, I need you now. And you're now all of a sudden spiritually able to go, wait a minute. Because everything appears like little ants down there. You know when you're in the airplane and you have a window seat, you look out and you get to that, you have an altitude, you can't even see the cars on the roads. You get down a little bit and they're just a little teeny. And you see the perspective. And Jesus wants to lift you this morning to a new perspective because of the great faithfulness of God. He's safe. We all experience times of testing. That's normal for every human being. But God, there's another big but. Say, but God. Yeah, we're all just like Jeremiah. I can remember that, or I can remember God. We'll be faithful to you. He'll be what? He'll be faithful. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and the timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. The promise is, no matter what you're going through right now, that you can get up underneath it and go, I can bear this. See, the enemy's going to tell you, no, you can't. You're not strong enough. No, wait a minute. I'm strong enough because he's the one who strengthened me. He's got my back. This is number two. He's got my back. And here I am in the trial or in the place of testing. And I feel like I can't take any more. If there is some more, it's because God's saying, I'm increasing your capacity. You're victorious. You're my champion. You're going to overcome. If there's more, then you're able to go. Today, if there's a little more, God says, I can get under this. God says, I can stand. After having done all, I can still be standing. I trust what God says. Or God knows, according to this scripture, that's all they can handle. I'm still in control. The enemy is not in control. The finances are not in control. Health is not in control. The name of the Lord, the strong tower, the God who's got my back, is in control. And there's nothing that can squash me. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it beat up and useless for 10 years. No, victorious. Say victorious. There's going to be some victorious people. We're going to pray in a few minutes. The ministry team is going to get busy, and we're going to pray for victory in your life. He's the God of promise. He's the God that's got my back. Number three, I want you to remember that God will never give up on you. He'll never give up on you. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. How many times has the enemy whispered in your ear, you blew it again? I own you. You're never getting free. You're never going to get out of this prison I've got you in. You're never going to overcome, and you've settled for less than God's best. You've believed the lie. You've believed the lie that God somehow is putting up with, and you're getting second best. God has first best for you this morning. Yes, we are unfaithful. We break our promises. I've broken too many to count, and so haven't you. But God has never broken a promise. God has never reneged. God is faithful when I'm unfaithful, when I've gone my own way, when I've not trusted God, when I should have trusted God. He didn't give up. Fine, you deserve that then. It's not the God we serve. The God we serve that called you by name, that's faithful, he can never give up on you. Philippians tells us being confident, being safe, being confident, jumping into his arms this morning of this, that he who began a good work will carry it to its completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God's going to finish what he started in you. He's going to finish what he started in me. He doesn't leave the project half done. Oh, I do that. I get projects going. I get more interested in another project. God's not more interested in the project that's sitting next to you. He's interested in you this morning. And the beautiful thing is, we're not a project. We're his son. We're his daughter. Now may the God of peace, somebody say peace. It's the opposite of anxiety and fear and worry. Trust issues this morning. The God who's the opposite of all of that. Make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit, your soul, and that's your emotions this morning. He wants to make your emotions different. He wants to make your mind different. He wants to make all the triggers that have triggered you in the past, that you become self-aware and go, wait a minute, that's not happening right now. That happened. Oh, it happened. I remember when I, whoa, how will I forget that? And you might not. But when you start remembering what God said about his faithfulness, he becomes the God of peace, and he's making you holy or in alignment with how he created you to be free, free in every way, body, soul, spirit. Be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen. For he who calls you is the great faithfulness of God this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and I'd love for the ministry team to just get right out of your seats right now. Come on down to the front. And you're here this morning and you just say, Pastor, yeah, this is the scenario. I have trust issues. It's affecting my relationships. It affects my work. It affects so much of my life, but I want freedom today. And if that's you, just in this moment, in a moment of just considering and meditating, I want you to know this morning, as you sit in your seat, that there is a God who's called you. He has promised. He's promised you a great destiny. His promises are all intact. He's got your back today. He'll never, ever give up on you. You say, Pastor, I've gone forward for prayer about this 1,000 times. Good. Come 1,001. Because there is a day you're going to run. You're going to know how to run out of that tower and begin doing havoc. Because you're going to make a difference with your life. Know God. Find freedom. Discover your purpose and make a difference. We're going to sing in just a moment. Our ministries team is here ready. And I'll be in front as well. I want to pray for people today. And just going to ask before you just, we do a dismissal, but I'm just asking, do not leave today. If this word is ministering to you, take it, just massage it into your heart one step more by receiving prayer. I'd like to just, before we sing and then we're going to dismiss, if you're here today, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, He's calling you. We started with that verse and ended with that the idea of God's calling you, he who called you. You see, the Bible says we've all gone our own way. All like sheep have gone astray. But there's a God who literally calls us by name. And I believe he's calling you either online today or here in the room. If you've never answered yes to forgiveness of your sins and relationship with Jesus. Let me give you one more. God is faithful. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. That faithfulness simply means this. God will never say no to a person who says, God, I need a Savior. Forgive my sin and come into my life. He'll never say no. He's faithful. He cannot deny himself. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I've done so many things. Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, he will forget all of your iniquity, all of your sin. Today, trade your sin for forgiveness and a new life. We call it being, because the scriptures call it being born again. If that's you today, just while our heads are bowed and we're in this time of prayer, I'm going to count down 3, 2, and then 1. When I say 1, I just want you to raise your hand. And by your raised hand, you're saying, I want to invite Jesus into my life today. If that's you, 3, 2, and 1. Just raise your hand wherever you are. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it down. Is there anyone in the room? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else today would raise their hand and say, Pastor, pray for me today. I want to receive Jesus. Harvest, yes, thank you. Thank you. Harvest, let's pray together. Those of you that raised your hands, yeah, come on. We're clapping because we are so excited that you're making the best decision that you could ever make. In this moment of sobriety, wow. I invite you, if you raised your hand, and all of us will pray this together with you. Dear Jesus, I need a Savior. I am a sinner. I confess my sin to you today. Thank you that you are faithful. Jesus, you died in my place. You are just. The price has been paid for my sin. I receive that price. I receive forgiveness. I receive new life. I begin it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on. We believe if you prayed that prayer or online, you are born again. Let's stand together and let's sing this to the Lord.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. The goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
This year, I want to encourage you to not go that way, but come this way this morning. Trust, getting healing from trust issues begins by knowing the one who is trustworthy. I promise you, as you transfer that trust and learn to trust God, that all the other areas of your life will come into alignment. And your trust meter will be healed. And you'll know what you can trust and what you can't trust and live in freedom. If you put up your hands today to trust God with salvation and newness of life, find someone with a shirt on, black shirt, host team shirt on today. They have a Bible they would love to give you and celebrate your decisions today.
Father, we just thank you today, God, for this service. Father, for such a timely word, God. I'm praying for those, Father, that are just struggling, God, that this word will have spoken to their hearts today, God.
Yes, oh God.
As we leave today, Father, I just pray for each individual. Father, that you will just rest upon them through this week, God. That you will let this word saturate their hearts, God. Father, we just thank you for everything you do, God. And we just pray a blessing over each and every person this morning as they leave. In your name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed, Harvest. We love you.
We love you so much.